Okay, it's time. It's now good. It's just after lunch, and I hope you are well refreshed or ready for sleep now. So, anyway, let's start. My name is Takashi. I'm usually working on the kernel side, but today's talk, I would like to show you something different. Also, it's between kernel and user space, and that's clear. So this is an outline of this presentation. And at first, I will give you a brief introduction, and so what's clear. And then I will, and followed by the basic design and how to use clear, and how the clears are adapted by containers. Then we will deep inside and details of the implementation of the clear, so how it is implemented. And then we discuss so what is the problem right now by clear. So let's start from the very, very basic question. What is clear? Does anyone in this room have idea what is clear? Great answer. I love this audience. It's almost correct. Well, it's crazy Russians invade Unix that, well, I forgot that this is video recorded. Okay, that's even listed as an official acronym and it's a clear web page. Upstream developers have a nice sense of humor, of Russian humor, and that joke came from the Git commit message when the Apaches have merged in the Linux kernel. Yeah, it's Ian Stovers and Andrew Morton, after all. So you see that message. So the Hannes was correct. The clear actually meant checkpoint restore in user space. And this is a tool to allow you, kind of suspend the resume for each user space process or process tree. Or more accurate to say, it's a hibernate resume of your process. And with that, you can just dump your running process or process tree into a disk storage. And at any time later, you can restart the dumped process again. And one interesting thing in this clear is that it's implemented almost in user space. And the primary use cases of clear are like that. So the first one is a very obvious snapshotting and so checkpointing and restart the task. It's especially useful for the long running tasks like high performance computing. Yeah, you want to make sure that your task can be broken at any time, so something wrong happens, then you can restart the task in the middle. And the second use case is also obvious, and it's more typical. That is demanded by containers and so on. That is a migration of tasks. So you can migrate a process tree, between containers on a single host, or between different hosts, even. And the last use case is a little bit different. It's a fast start of a task or a container. So you can imagine that the similar technique used by Emacs or Tech. So some applications take very, very long time to initialize, to start up. And they read many files and evaluate many things. And by clear, just you dump at the right after the initialization is done, then at the next time, you can resume from the dumped image without any long-time initialization. And I mentioned that clear, one of the important points is that it's implemented mostly in user space. So why? You may ask why, because such a low-level thing is usually a task of the kernel. Upstream developers thought in the same way, and at first they implemented everything in kernel, and that resulted and over 100 patches. And, well, kind of people didn't like that knock. So they changed their mind. They re-implemented things, moved their stuff into the user space as much as possible. And only the very same small things is left in the kernel. And that was successful, accepted and by mainstream kernel, as you saw in the first slide. Actually, what kernel does in by with a checkpoint resource, there's a very minimalistic, only a few changes for the system codes and block file accesses, nothing else. And one point to be noted is that CLIO has no performance impact on the running kernel, running task. So CLIO enables something on checkpoint dumping and restoring, but nothing about the running process itself. But there is always downside. In this case, drawback is that CLIO has to take care of everything. So every single dirty work is implemented in CLIO itself. This slide shows the development status. Upstream developers are mostly working on parallels, and they worked also on OpenVZ and Virtuoso, which are long-standing and container technologies. The CLIO project itself started back in 2011, and soon after that, the patch was merged in the kernel. And currently, there are multiple supported architectures, x86-64, ARM64, and PowerPC64 little endian. And 32-bit Intel support is ongoing, but still not yet. Note that these architectures are about only about the user space CLIO stuff, and the kernel supports all architectures. And that's easy, and that's generic even. Project is still in very active stage, and there are multiple commits each day. And they have even the regular monthly release, and as of today, their latest version is version 2.3. On SUSE, OpenSUSE, we have supported CLIO from the beginning. It's since OpenSUSE 13.2, and that was a kernel 3.16. And of course, Leap and Tumbleweed are supporting CLIO. And the latest CLIO package is found always in the OBS debel project, debel:tools project. And package has a little dependency, so you can drag to the older distributions from the repository. On the other hand, SUSE Linux Enterprise, we did not support CLIO at all so far. Good news is that we are going to support, at least in kernel side, SUSE 12 SP2, but still experimental and not decided yet. And package is not found in SUSE 12. So if anyone SUSE Enterprise customers want to have that, then just ask PM, so product manager, and maybe someone in here room, and give them the pressure. So let's go to the basic design usage. CLIO has three different interfaces. One is a command line, and one is a RPC, and another is a library interface. The most of programs use the first one, command line. Even the containers just invoke the command lines. And some programs use RPC, but as far as I know, there is no program using library API. CLIO provides two extensions. One is a plugin, and that's a shared object dynamically linked into the CLIO, and ActionScript. And this is a script that is executed at each different stage of the dumping the restore. For example, the locking and unlocking network, the ActionScript is used. And the image files that CLIO creates, CLIO creates multiple files, not the whole archive, but multiple files on the directory, and even for each process. And each image file is in the format of the Google protocol buffer. It's very portable and efficient. Also, CLIO provides a rich utility program to parse that image file between JSON. And even you can manipulate the image file by that command. And the commander invocation is very simple, the modern form. There's crew and subcommand and options. For the checkpointing, so dumping, you run the crew dump and dash T process ID and dash large D for the directory to store the dump files and more options. Depending on the situation, you need to pass many options, but I will mention later. And for the restoring, then run crew restore and dash dash D and directory and the same option as mostly same option as a dump time, but without the process ID, because process ID itself is restored by the restore actions. So I will show you some demo. That's the Python script calculating the pi, number pi. See. So just starting that, and it showed that many random so numbers pi, and so you see that that's a process. The process. So please remember the process number, process ID. In this case, 1789, and okay, make. So as far as, oh, okay, then one, I forgot to remove. Oh. So it's a empty directory now, crew, and then dump. I forgot the process ID. That was, I forgot. Wait a minute. Okay. And because the task is running on the shell, that we need to pass the dash dash shell job in this case. And it's huge. So that is 30,000. And you see that directory here. That files are created. And this file, so dump demo one. Okay, I could show inventory. So you can see the each file content by create command show. And for example, regular files. I forgot. Then let's show the which files have been opened. And they are recorded here. Now, restore shell job. And remember that the 13 some thousand something we stopped and starting again in the same position. So that's and again. And one thing interesting is that process ID is even restored. It shows the very same process ID and the very same user. So that's, then how the crew is adapted by containers. There are many containers technology for the Linux, and let's see which hub which does support crew. And first the containers by the crew upstream developers. And of course, they support crew natively and also on OpenBZ. And the next one, LXC and LXD, they do support also the crew since a year ago, version 1.1. And the current version supports even better. And the minor one, systemd nspawn, this does not support at all yet. And because upstream developers, systemd developers has some concern on dependency on crew. So systemd does not want to have a dependency by some funny reason. Then the biggest one, the hottest one, the Docker. And the Docker does not support crew as of the version 1.12 yet. And that was a little bit unfortunate that Docker itself was restructured just at the time that crew support pull request was sent. So the Docker was split to the runC and containerD, and that didn't happen. So because of that, it didn't happen. But as a result, runC and containerD do support natively crew already, but only Docker does not. And there have been different forks for the supporting crew by Dockers. And the most promising one is the Rust Broches branch. And that is also the patches that's merged in the runC and containerD. So far, there are no container migration implementation yet. No, not yet. So that there are some more demo about Docker. Okay, let's start the very same thing. So we have the Docker file, so that's just building in the python.py Docker. So it's done. And running the Docker, this one. Okay, let's name it py. So it's running there in a container. You see the container is running. And there is a new command checkpoint. And you have the three further subcommands by checkpoint. So the first create by ppp. That's the checkpoint name ppp is created. Then it's done. It's gone. And we can restart again. OK, checkpoint. And there you find the checkpoint name PPP that is stored there. Now they restart the task with a new option, checkpoint. OK, and that's one. Then it starts from that last number. And you can start even again after stopping that. And it's there. OK, that was a rather boring demo. So we can try to something more interesting. So this one is to starting an XBNC session in the Docker container. So the whole desktop session is running there. So I can, so now session container VNC is running. And I can connect to this container with VNC viewer. So starting here and XTOM. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that is. It's root. And something more interesting. And I can start, I can play something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's not good. And anyway, that's. Then again, Docker checkpoint. And VNC, Doom. Oh. Checkpoint create. Then it's gone. Then again. It's there. So that works. So OK, go back. So that was how that crew works. And now I'll show you some of how crew is implemented. So crew uses a few very low-level techniques. So remember that Linux provides ptrace and nmap system calls. These are very ugly system calls. You can do everything. Especially ptrace is used by debugger and tracer. And so you can manipulate everything. And combining these two system calls, Clue implements so-called parasite code injection. So that this is a way to running the system call on the forwarding process. And by injecting so small position independent executable code by mmapping on the forwarding process, and then running that code from by ptrace. And after getting a result, returning the host process and cleaning up the injected memory area again and cleaning up everything. So as if there is nothing there. Also, another interesting technique is a TCP repair mode. That in this mode, the TCP behaves as if that's just behaving the stream, but it does, and changing its state, but it does not handle any data itself. So it's used for the resuming the network connection. Linux kernel provides many proc files, and there are many lots and lots of information there, and Clue uses that intensively. For example, process tree and pages and mapping VMAs, file descriptors and POSIX timers, namespaces, and so on. And these are all found in the proc files. And for dumping the process, so roughly speaking, there are three stages. So as first, the Clue stops the task. And for that, usually a ptrace sys call is used. Optionally, you can use a cgroup freezer. And by that, the task, so given tasks, or task tree are stopped. And also, you need to lock the internet so that the stage is kept consistently during the dump and restore. And it's usually done by netfilter or action script for the network namespace. Then the Clue gathers the whole process information. As I shown that it parses proc files, or it runs parasite injection calls for foreign processes to get credentials or memory contents or signals and so on. And these are stored in a dump file in protocol buffer format. And then it dumps the pages. It's done by VM splice and splice system calls. So the dumping is actually easy. You need to gather the whole just information and save to file. But the problem is rather restoring. It's tricky. The strategy that Clue takes is to fake the process tree as if the original tree. Then it moves to the dumped process again. So the first, from the root process, that is a Clue restore command itself. So it forks the processes trees. And the way is exactly the same form as a dump process. Then it restores a dumped process information to each process, and it moves to the original process back. So that's a fake tree. As you see, so there in demonstration, the process ID was even reverted. Restored the original process number. This is done by setting the system call, so kernel, and its last PID. Also, shared memory IDs and system, IPC IDs, also they are restored by system calls or system control. And open files, the Clue needs to reopen the very same files that have been opened, and also shared anonymous VMA and so on. And then also restore the shared memory and namespace, C group, and session ID, group ID, so on. And another interesting technique that Clue takes is its restorer. A restorer is a kind of trampoline that's a small position independent executable code. And this is necessary for avoiding the seg fault by unmapping. So at cleaning up, you need to clear, so unmapping the memory that has taken. But doing that from the original process, you will get a segmented fault. So for avoiding that, you jump again once somewhere outside, and then doing such things, then go back, jumping again to the new code, that is original process code. Then cleaning up the old code. So far, I presented the crew as if it's perfectly right, working and beautifully. Everything is fine. Sorry, I lied. It has lots and lots and lots of problems. One of the biggest problems is that it's, if the process or process tree is connected to the outside, then you cannot guarantee that that process is restored in the same way because it's outside. You have no idea. So Crew behaves basically very conservative way, so that it says that I cannot dump. Then you have to convince Crew, like the small child, small kid, that, honey, it's no problem. It's not serious problem. Just go on. For that, you give them options. So different, many options depending on the situation. For example, the four sockets, Unix socket, if the only one of the pair side is dumped, you have to pass then that's XT Unix socket. And also for the TCP connection. Also shell job, if the shell itself is outside, then you need to pass a shell job option to give them restore the TTY and group and session IDs. Also file logs can be external and bind bounds. The bind source is external, then you have to specify which bind mounts to be done. And another big problem is that it cannot handle device files at all. Because you have no idea what's the device driver, how the device driver behaves. And device driver behavior is different even on different machines, so you cannot migrate easily from one machine to another. Of course, the exceptions are very generic ones, like DevNew or DevZero or DevNetton. But for any other device file, you need to write a plugin for each, so it's very hard. On the similar reason, X application also cannot be dumped, because X server has no idea about the client is dumped. Also, more restrictions, this is only part of the restrictions. And file systems. Crew itself does not take care of any about file systems. It relies that file systems is consistent between dump and restore. And there is one exception, that's a so-called ghost file. If the file was deleted, but still accessed, so that's invisible from file system, in that case, file system cannot keep the consistency. In that case, the Crew just dumps the file content by itself. Also, system v IPC, that has to be in namespace because it's more or less anonymous. Also, nested namespace or C group might be problematic too. Also, the root permission problem still exists because the namespace access needs a root privilege. So, taking a look at this, all that limitation, we can say that Crew actually requires the whole process tree to be self-contained. If it's self-contained, that can be restored, as we have seen that a whole X session could be restored. Or user has to specify the options at each time, but it's, nasty. However, usually container management tool takes care of that options by itself. And another point is that, Crew cannot be practically used as a system-level checkpoint restore because, on bare metal, without device drivers, it's useless. So it's different from the whole system-level suspend regime. Also, there was a discussion that Crew could be used as zero-time downtime things to as a live patching. But, as far as I say, that it cannot be comparable with system-level kernel live patching, so K-graph or so on. However, Crew is a very good tool for containers or even for high availability nodes. It's because it enhances that container does not have. So you can still find very interesting ways that use Crew. Okay, that's all. Then resource, you can find a homepage in a crew, that's very well organized and up-to-date wiki. So, I think it's all, time is almost up. Maybe one just question or? Yep.
Hi. Oh. So you mentioned that you can use Creo to, in HA environments. So you can basically suspend a process and resume it on another node.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear on that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Cool. That's all. Okay, the timer's up. Yep. Yeah, thank you for listening.